Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On our Western Hotline is Ryan Rashog from TSN Edmonton. He is their Edmonton Bureau reporter. Ryan, thanks. I know it's a hectic morning for you. Thanks for giving us a few minutes here on the show this morning.
Yeah, no problem. I, as much as anybody, understand how big the news is when the team in town hires a head coach. There's been about 70 of them in Edmonton over the last 7 years. So I know it's a big day.
Yeah. And I think half of them were in consideration for this job.
No kidding. Like they've been using each other as negotiating negotiating leverage for a number of jobs so far.
Ryan, I think Sabre fans, among the things they're wondering, okay, so he only had 1 year as head coach in Edmonton. He's on the staff for 3, 1 year as head coach. He goes 19-22-7, and he loses the job when they decide to go with Dallas Eakins. How did his team look? How did they play in that 1 year? Go beyond the record and explain what you saw in that 1 year with Kruger as head coach.
Yeah, so you know, he got quite a bit out of the group for most of the season. They were in a playoff position late into the year, and he had them going pretty good. I think Ralph is he's a communicative coach. He's a player friendly coach. He's a communicator. He's an open door guy who he's not just this is what the way I want it done and that's the end of it. I think he understands that you need to explain things a little more for today's athletes. So, from a standpoint of being player-friendly and communicating, I think he did a really good job, and he did a nice job unlocking some guys who, you know, under other coaches didn't thrive nearly as much. Take a look at Neil Yakupov's statistics under Ralph Kruger. Those were the best statistics of his career. So he has a nice touch with certain individuals and certain players, and I think players respond really well to him. Where Ralph got himself into trouble was towards the end of the season, and I believe they were in a playoff position right around April 3rd or so. They went on a run where they lost 9 out of 10 games and dropped out of the playoffs and ended up missing the playoffs that year. And I remember in that time, one of my criticisms of Ralph in that moment was, he's not adjusting enough. He's not, the coaches, when they get into these slides, they learn how to kind of saber rattle and shake their team out of it. He's not adjusting enough. He's not moving guys around enough. He needs to be doing more to try and shake this because the season is falling through their fingertips. And they lost 9 out of 10 games and missed the playoffs. And then Craig McTavish was wooed by Dallas Eakins and decided to make, he made a mistake. He absolutely made a mistake in letting Ralph Kruger go and hiring Dallas Eakins. Dallas wasn't ready yet. Ralph deserved more of an opportunity than he got, but what armed Mac T with the ability to do that was that awful losing streak they went on that cost them the playoffs.
You know, I'm telling you right now, Ryan, Sabre fans are listening to you, and you did not make them happy. They are shaking their heads, because what you just described is exactly what happened with Phil Housley in the last 4 months of this season.
Okay, well, what I'll say next might make them feel better. One of the things that we tend to label people with is, you know, they make a mistake and that's just who they are and they're never going to be able to change. And that's just who they're always going to be. Ralph Kruger is one of the most cerebral individuals I've ever dealt with in hockey. He is smart. He's not arrogant smart, not cocky smart. He's just really smart. Mm-hmm. So I can guarantee you that experience is something Ralph Kruger will have learned from, and that he will be able to look himself in the mirror, self-evaluate, and adjust moving forward. He's not somebody who's so stubborn, and maybe you guys have heard that word in that city a little bit. He's not someone who's so stubborn not to be able to adjust and learn. So I don't say that to, you know, send fear into the hearts of Sabres fans.
Yeah.
I think this is a good hire. I really think this is a good hire. Ralph, I think for the way that team is set up, for the players on that team, for a player like Eichel, I think Ralph Kruger is going to be tonic for a player like Eichel.
I know.
And I think he's going to be able to get a lot out of him.
I know Sal's got a question, but it's funny. Man, you are hitting the high points here. The not adjusting is Housley, and the stubborn guy was Bylsma. So thank you for hitting the last two head coaches in this segment.
There you go. And Ralph has the ability to, he can be a bit of a chameleon. He can do what he needs to do. He's a very intelligent guy, evidenced by the fact that the caliber of jobs that he went on to after doing, you know, after being an NHL head coach. This guy runs major organizations and knows how to manage, knows how to give other people tasks. He's a smart, smart guy, and I think given more of an opportunity than he had at Edmonton, he's going to figure it out, probably faster than most first-time NHL head coaches.
Hey, Ryan, before the season starts, he's going to be, Ralph Krueger, 60 years old. This is a very young Sabres roster, especially the top-end talent, like a Jack Eichel, a Sam Reinhart, a Rasmus Dahlin, guys like that. From what you saw in Edmonton, will there be any type of communication barrier? I know he's a communicator, but there is a difference between a 60-year-old head coach and a roster which most of are 25 or younger.
Yeah, and that's a fair question. I guess what I'd say is, you know, pay attention in his press conference, and you tell me if you sense any sort of lack of energy or lack of ability to communicate. Like Ralph is, that surprised me when you said he was 60. He'll be a young 60. I don't think communication is going to be an issue. I don't think that dealing with younger athletes is going to be an issue. Neil Yakupov was, I mean, so whether you're dealing with a 23-year-old and a 60-year-old man, or an 18-year-old, and what would Ralph have been then, 54, 55? It's about the same amount, right? And Ralph Krueger did an excellent job with Neil Yakupov, a young Russian player who came into the NHL with all sorts of piss and vinegar, wanting to do things his way. Ralph did enough to let that kid spread his wings, but also reined him in enough to make him a usable player. This is his specialty. His specialty is communicating and getting a lot out of his players. That's what he's designed to do as a coach. Now, as far as strategy and, you know, coach versus coach matchups and all that stuff, he's got tons of coaching experience, but he'll be doing it against the best in the world in the NHL. And so there will be a learning curve there, but his communication is his specialty, in my opinion.
And maybe dovetailing off of that, Ryan, we also hear about his ability to motivate, and he's a motivational speaker, and he wrote a book. And we're reading some comments from the guys on the 2016 Europe team that played for him about how, you know, he cares about everybody. He got all of us to come together as a group, buy in, all that stuff. What about that side of him when you saw it in Edmonton? Again, maybe it didn't pay off in the record, but from the first guy to the 23rd guy on the roster, was he able to, quote-unquote, motivate, get players to buy into whatever he was telling them?
Yeah, I mean, you know, no coach is going to unlock every single player.
Right.
Right. Every coach is going to have their four or five guys that they just can't seem to get to. Nobody bats 1,000 with their lineup. The trick is to get enough guys and, you know, for maybe the guys that you don't have, for them to at least still be willing to you know, try to run through a wall for you.
Yeah.
And I think that he did that year. That team was, you know, the lower end of their lineup wasn't fantastic, but he got 50 points in 45 games out of a young Taylor Hall, right? Taylor Hall was, I mean, he's an excellent player, but he'll admit when he came into the league, he was a cocky young kid that needed to be shown the way. He did a good job with a very young Taylor Hall. Jordan Eberle had a hell of a time saying Eberle's name properly. I'm not sure why. We always chuckled about it, and so did he. Called him like Eberlaw, or it was very strange.
It's weird.
A young Justin Schultz he did a good job with as well. So one thing you guys will find, if you have the opportunity to meet Ralph off camera and shake his hand and talk to him, he asks you questions. He wants to know about your life, genuinely cares. He'll be a very genuine coach who wants to know how his players truly are. And, hey, how are you? Won't just be, you know, like a platitude with him. That's just who he is as a person. And I think that's reflected in his relationships with his players. Now, these are pro athletes, and they're millionaires, and they're a different type. And so not all will respond to that sort of thing. It's different guys are motivated by different things. But I believe today's athlete needs a coach with the ability to communicate and get through to the player and be willing to explain things. And that's why I think this is a good hire. I think that the tactics and all those other things, you can work with your staff and it can be a work in progress, But I think he's going to be able to unlock players, and I think that's what's needed in Buffalo.
Sounds like you're describing the other coach we have here, Sean McDermott, to be quite honest with you, on the football side of things. I could tell you from firsthand experience, I was on Rex Ryan's sideline for 2 years. I don't think he ever knew my name as a sideline reporter. The minute I met Sean McDermott, a half hour later, he's asking me about my family, remembering my name, and that goes a long way with a lot of guys, and I think that showed up. I do want to ask you before we let you go, Ryan, as far as the actual rosters right now, a lot of talk about Rasmus Ristolainen. He's been mentioned maybe even going to Edmonton for Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. What would be the likelihood of something like that happening?
Good question, and there's a new GM in town, so I wouldn't have had enough conversations with him yet to get a sense, you know, to kind of handicap the likelihood. What I would say is that the Oilers have a shortage of skilled forwards who can put the puck in the net and contribute and help take some of the burden off McDavid and Draisaitl. So Nugent Hopkins has always been the fix for the blue line. Every single time they pursued a defenseman to help out their blue line, it's always been Ryan Nugent Hopkins. A couple years ago, they could have done Ryan Nugent Hopkins for Matt Dumba. It was always Ryan Nugent Hopkins' name in the Tyson Berry rumors. His name is always tied to that key defenseman that they need to bring in. And so far, they have not been willing to do it, and I don't blame them. So I don't know that they're willing to make him the centerpiece of a deal for that defenseman. They've also got Evan Bouchard coming, who was probably a year away, but an excellent young right-shot offensive defenseman. I think they'll try and fix their blue line using potentially that number 8 pick, potentially some other young assets that they have. I don't know that they're going to be willing to move Nugent Hopkins to do it. And on Ristolainen, it's an interesting one. We talk about him at Edmonton all the time. The question I would have, I think the player the Oilers are looking for is a dynamic offensive right-shot player who in the right situation could push 60-plus points. I don't know if given the exact same minutes every single night and the exact same power play time, I don't know how many more points Ristolainen finishes with than Darnell Nurse. Might be within 5 or 10 points through the course of an entire year. So I'm not sure that Ristolainen is the dynamic offensive talent. He's steady, does a lot of things well. You guys would know that better. You tell me, in the right situation, is he a 60-point defenseman?
No, and in fact, you don't want to give him the minutes to try and get him up to a 60-point defenseman. You don't want to play him. No, I'm not trying to be a jerk, Ryan.
Not at all. That's the good minutes, to know, and that's the minutes somebody who watches him play every day.
The minutes he's getting here, you don't want him getting those minutes. He can't be a 25-minute guy. He shouldn't be. He shouldn't be in the lead role. I think there's nothing wrong with it. He's a 40-point guy. If you're looking for more points, you're going to be looking for more ice time, or you're thinking he's going to get his game to a higher level. I think he is where he is, and I think if you asked more from him, you're not going to get it.
But does he power play a number one? Does he quarterback a number one power play?
I wouldn't. I mean, like Mike Dahlin would be the number one quarterback guy here, but ahead of Ristolainen, and I would have him on
a
number two.
Does he have the ability to, though? You know what I mean?
Yes, he can. But his decision,
that extra power play time.
His decision making too. Sometimes when he decides to go into the offensive zone, sometimes when he just throws pucks on the net when there's just no reason to make the shot, and all of a sudden you're giving up possession. It's just there are decision making questions with him. I don't think he can be a 60-point guy.
Yeah, and I believe that's what the Oilers need, is a dynamic guy who has the ability to be that true power play quarterback. Work that power play along with Connor McDavid, walk the blue line well, versatile, agile. I think they're looking more for the Tyson Berry type than necessarily the bigger Colton Parayko type. Although Parayko would look good as an Oiler too. So it'll be interesting. There's always talk about Edmonton and Buffalo in this deal. Ever since they drafted number one and took that D-man, they've been tied together. We'll see if Ken Holland actually gets something done or not.
Well, it's 7:48 there, and Ryan is juggling 5 kids and was nice enough to give us a few minutes while being a dad. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, you bet, guys. Enjoy Ralph Krueger. I'll tell you what, he'll be an absolute pleasure to deal with on the media front. And, he's one of those guys that will make himself available, and he'll answer your questions honestly, and that, there's something to be said for that.
Yeah. All right, Ryan, thank you again. Have a good day.
Okay, see you guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.